When the news gets complicated, you don't need more volume. You need better questions.
Better questions.
Hugh Hewitt sits down with lawmakers, legal experts, journalists, and insiders, and actually lets them talk.
Lets them talk.
Long-form interviews, real context, and time to understand what's really happening behind the headline. Hugh Hewitt. Weekdays 2 to 4 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative. Local. Dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
There's something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes.
As we speak this evening, it's been just 1 month since the United States military began Operation Epic Fury, targeting the world's number one state sponsor of terror, Iran. In these past 4 weeks, our armed forces have delivered swift, decisive, overwhelming victories on the battlefield. Victories like few people have ever seen before.
You know, I watched, obviously, the presidential address last night. The president began by congratulating the Artemis II astronauts on the launch and going to the moon for the first time in 52 years. But then he got to business talking about Iran. And you never know what to expect from the president. Of course, I mean, just generally, that's just true. You never know what to expect from him. That's part of his style. But I didn't know whether we would get serious policy stuff. I didn't know whether we'd get major announcements. I didn't know whether we'd get, just updates. I didn't know whether we'd get blather. You never know. And it wasn't a lot of news, not per se, but there were some updates. Of course, primarily what he was doing was sending the message that we're winning overwhelmingly. We've done a lot of terrible things to them.
Tonight, Iran's Navy is gone. Their Air Force is in ruins. Their leaders, most of them, terrorist regime they led, are now dead. Their command and control of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps is being decimated as we speak. Their ability to launch missiles and drones is dramatically curtailed, and their weapons, factories, and rocket launchers are being blown to pieces. Very few of them left.
Military objectives being accomplished. Again, this was sort of message part one throughout the thing.
Thanks to the progress we've made, I can say tonight that we are on track to complete all of America's military objectives shortly, very shortly. We're going to hit them extremely hard over the next 2 to 3 weeks. We're going to bring them back to the Stone Ages where they belong.
And I would say if the goal, as had been previously announced, is to eliminate their capacity to even rebuild the factories that would rebuild the missiles in the long run, well, that's most certainly has not been accomplished. But because it's just, I mean, that's almost an impossible goal, really. You're talking about supply chains, logistics, production facilities, all of that. Smelting and things, mines, everything would have to be demolished. But then again, if you don't actually lay out the military objectives, then you can later on claim that you've accomplished most all of them. And I do believe we've accomplished a lot. I just don't know that the all, the better, the greatest ever kind of thing.
In the meantime, discussions are ongoing. Regime change was not our goal. We never said regime change, but regime change has occurred because of all of their original leaders' death. They're all dead. The new group is less radical and much more reasonable.
I think time still is yet to tell about whether they're less radical and certainly whether they're willing to deal with us.
They have no anti-aircraft equipment. Their radar is 100% annihilated. We are unstoppable as a military force.
Okay, even though those clips I just played you are not all from one part of the speech, I'm playing them based on how I've reorganized the speech in my head as far as the progress of the message, because I thought message A was we're winning, we've done a ton, we've degraded them terribly, they're in awful shape, we're winning. Okay, that's part one. Then he got to the stuff where I thought he was actually sending, it was more, this was really what the speech was about.
The countries of the world that do receive oil through the Hormuz Strait must take care of that passage. They must cherish it. They must grab it and cherish it. They can do it easily We will be helpful, but they should take the lead in protecting the oil that they so desperately depend on.
Yeah, the Strait of Hormuz is of much greater significance to other countries, particularly in Europe and around the world, than it is to us based on oil supply, because we don't need it the way they need it. But, you know, in the aggregate, reductions in oil supply have an effect on everybody. But, you know, direct resourcing, you know, we don't particularly need it the way they need it. And that's what he's saying is it's you should take care of this. This is your problem to solve. This is your baby to take. You should take that Strait of Hormuz. You should, you know, do this militarily. Don't depend on us to do your, you know, necessary work for you.
So to those countries that can't get fuel, many of which refuse to get involved in the decapitation of Iran, we had to do it ourselves. I have a suggestion. Number one, buy oil from the United States of America. We have plenty. We have so much. And number two, build up some delayed courage. Should have done it before. Should have done it with us, as we asked. Go to the Strait and just take it, protect it, use it for yourselves.
So he's, you know, throughout, he's been encouraging the allies or potential allies to come alongside to allow us to use air bases and airspace and just to fight with us to do this thing that the world wants to be done, you know, be willing to do it. And now he's saying, okay, here, this one task that so far has proved a challenge, which it kind of has. I mean, we've done a lot, eliminating their Navy, for example. But still, that strait is a challenge to keep safe and to protect, especially for shipping, as you know, if you've been paying attention to the news. And he says, do your job.
Iran has been essentially decimated. The hard part is done, so it should be easy. And in any event, when this conflict is over, the strait will open up naturally. It'll just open up naturally. They're going to want to be able to sell oil because that's all they have to try and rebuild. It will resume the flowing, and the gas prices will rapidly come back down. Stock prices will rapidly go back up. They haven't come down very much, frankly.
And you would think that's true because Iran really does depend on that for their revenue, and so it's in their interest to open it back up. You know, as long as the war is going on, they think this is leverage to make the war stop. But if they can get the war to stop, then, you know, at that point, what value does it have to them to keep the strait closed? You know, an unfunctioning revenue source is an unfunctioning revenue source. And I think he's right that, you know, if oil is flowing again, gas prices will certainly go down and stock prices will go even farther up. We'll come back to this in a second because he had another message. This one, that was for potential allies and Europe, NATO. This one is for Iran itself. We'll get to that in a second. PJ is sitting in for John Pickens this morning with Traffic on the Fives.
Traffic is brought to you by Culver's. Lent is here. Enjoy shrimp or fish dinners and sandwiches. Cordova Mall, Mobile Highway, Milton, and coming soon to Pine Forest. Culver's, welcome to Delicious. I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now. Taking a look at the big board, the only area that I see is the front gate of NES Pensacola that is backed up to Sunset Avenue. I'm PJ with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to President Trump yesterday in his evening address to the nation about Iran that, you know, was a little bit rambling around the edges, but, you know, there were some key messages in there, at least I thought so, and one of them was to Iran particularly. And keep in mind that in the war, what we have been doing and targeting has so far, it has not been all-out warfare. It has not been attack everything. And it wouldn't be, because that's not how we fight wars. You have discrimination of targets for military targets. Then you have critical infrastructure that supports the military is certainly a legitimate target. And gradually you expand to things that are beyond the scope of direct military necessity. And that's why you have the rules of just warfare, which tell you what you can and what you can or what you should or what you should not target. Anyway, we have really stayed away from their power infrastructure, mostly because that has the dual value of it's useful for the country for revenue and to their military, but it is also important to the citizens. And, you know, the idea that you want to retain leverage, threat to things that would be legitimate military targets, but you're not attacking them yet because it would be very costly to the enemy if you did attack them. And, you know, that's a way of saying to them that's leverage for essentially establishing peace or establishing some kind of a ceasefire in the end.
Yet if during this period of time no deal is made, we have our eyes on key targets. If there is no deal, we are going to hit each and every one of their electric generating plants very hard and probably simultaneously.
And that's something that you could do that would be, obviously, it would have an impact to the nation, the leadership, the military, but it would also have a massive impact on the citizens. That's one of the arguments against doing it, but as I kind of explained at length previously in a previous show, the principle of double effect, if you're not trying to do it to punish the civilians, but you are trying to do it with the intent of stopping the military. There is legitimacy to these kind of targets, but it has to be proportional to the ends achieved. The harm to the civilians has to be proportionally small compared to the value of destroying the infrastructure against the military and the leadership and pressuring. Again, the ultimate justification for any warfare is that it produces peace in the end. And if it does not produce peace in the end, then that's a problem. So, you know, obviously that's something that could be done. The power plants that help the civilians.
We have not hit their oil, even though that's the easiest target of all, because it would not give them even a small chance of survival or rebuilding. But we could hit it, and it would be gone, and there's not a thing they could do about it.
So this is, you know, partially a message to American citizens, of course, about what the president's trying to accomplish and how we've used restraint so far and could do much worse, which would be really horrible for them. But that's also obviously a message to Iran that, hey, we can do a whole lot worse. I mean, they know this, but it's good to remind them. And if you don't want it to be worse, then, you know, make a deal. Work with us.
Tonight, every American can look forward to a day when we are finally free from the wickedness of Iranian aggression and the specter of nuclear blackmail. Because of the actions we have taken, we are on the cusp of ending Iran's sinister threat to America and the world. And I'll tell you, the world is watching. And when we do, when it's all over, the United States will be safer, stronger, more prosperous, and greater than it has ever been before.
Which, of course, is the message he always wants to convey. But it's good to remind the American people who are going to vote in the midterms, and many of whom do not understand the purpose of this war. I'm not sure that if people tuned into this and didn't know why we were doing it, that they would have gathered that exactly from this speech. But, you know, like I said, I thought that the two basic messages to the Europeans and to the Iranians were valid, appropriate, and possibly useful. As I like to always say, time will tell. We'll see how this plays out. He did not repeat the commitment that, you know, he's going to end, or the idea that he's going to just end the war in a couple of weeks. He may. He did say we're close, he said, you know, to accomplishing or have almost accomplished all of our military objectives. 620 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Just a quick note from yesterday. If you tuned in yesterday and you heard all about the toll booth going on Palafox, just a quick note. That, of course, was an April Fool's Day joke. And if you fell for it, well, good. I'm a good writer and a pretty good liar on April Fool's. It's the one day of the year I lie. So there you go. And well, how do you get so good doing it one day a year? I don't know. I let it all out. 621 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Kenny Chartel at Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze.
This is Philip Warren with the law firm Taylor Warren Widener Hancock & Barnes.
What do these businesses have in common? They've trusted our years of marketing experience at ADX Communications.
When we need to get a message out to our community, we rely on our friends at ADX Communications. They are clear, reliable, and effective.
ADX Communications isn't just a company name. It's a home to four great radio stations and the area's most robust digital platform.
I enjoy working with the great team at this radio station. Dependable, professional, local, and result-driven. ADX Communications.
To have your business become part of our success story, no matter if it's Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, Sports Radio Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola's Playlist 94.5, or the area's most robust digital platform, call us today. 850-262-6000. That's 850-262-6000. And let ADX go to work for you.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9:30 for the Pensacola Expert Panel with me, Eldon Scott, your host, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing barbecue prizes, and hear how Sunny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. We're spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Make sure to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go. We've got all the details. News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Be excellent to each other.
Hiya, dude.
So, I don't know if you're a big baseball fan, and if you're not, just bear with me for a second, because probably you work with people who are, but Major League Baseball has finally adopted the rule that you can challenge balls and strikes. The pitcher, the catcher, or the hitter can challenge it. You just tap on your head or your helmet a couple times, and then they review it. And basically, the way it works is you get two for the game, and if you're wrong, then you lose that challenge, and you know, but if you're right, you get to keep it. It's a very simple system. It worked incredibly well in like spring training in the minor leagues, and now we're doing it at the major leagues, just like the pitch clock did, same thing. The biggest advantage to this system is obviously getting calls right. I've always kind of wondered whether getting rid of the human in the system is better or not for baseball, because baseball is, like a lot of sports, heavily dependent on the fact that you can argue about the results and you can be upset about the things you don't like, and there's a human element to things that are wrong. But we've gradually moved towards, you know, instant replay and, you know, technology to solve some of this stuff. Well, the advantage, if you believe in the system, is that now you can really find out which umpires suck and which ones don't. And it's fascinating because there's one umpire who has now come under tremendous scrutiny, who has always been one of the worst umpires, and every fan in the game knows it. All the commentators know it. But he's still allowed to be an umpire. And it's fascinating because even though we're only still in like the first week of real baseball, it's bad. I'll tell you in a second who it is and what's going on. But PJ's got traffic for us. John Pickens is out today. PJ?
The front gate of NS Pensacola is now backed up to just past Palmetto Avenue. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. Back to you.
Thanks so much. So I know for those of you who are not, you know, big fans of baseball, the name C.B. Buckner will not ring any bells for you. But if you are a baseball fan, you certainly know who this person is. He is the champion terrible umpire. There are a couple of others who have been bad over the years, and sometimes they retire, whatever. But C.B. Buckner is still in the game, and he is routinely. I mean, when commentators are calling baseball games and C.B. Buckner blows a call, they'll talk about it. They just take it for granted that everybody knows this. So for instant replay in the first game of the season where he was behind the plate, he got challenged 8 times. You said, well, I thought they only had 4 challenges. Yeah, because he was wrong 6 times. 6 times! He called things a strike that were actually balls, and they challenged him, and he got it wrong, and they challenged him, and he got it wrong, and they challenged him, and he got it wrong. This was a game between the Boston Red Sox and the Cincinnati Reds. Then, so that's terrible. I mean, that's the worst percentage in the league. I mean, it's only one game, but still, that's horrible. Then he called Trevor Story a strike on a check swing that was, if you know your angles, I mean, it was like a 75 degrees out of a 90-degree check swing. It was totally a check swing, easily. And he couldn't. What you're supposed to do is you go to the first base umpire and ask him for confirmation. He didn't do that. Just called him out. And then, and this is the most amazing one. This is, I didn't believe it when I saw it. He's calling a game with the Rays and the Brewers, and the ball gets hit towards the second baseman, like in the hole between the second baseman and the first baseman. So the second baseman's going to field the ball, and he's got to kind of do some acrobatics to get to the ball. And in the process of throwing it, he throws it away. He throws it about halfway between first base and home plate. He completely throws the ball away. C.B. Buckner's at first base. C.B. Buckner calls the runner out for failing to touch the bag.
Bowers. Oh, in and out of the glove of Williamson. Throws the first. It's wide. It's backed up by Fortes. That should be a base hit for Bowers.
Runner did not touch first base,
and then was put out.
And I think that is a horrendous call. Where is C.B. Buckner looking?
He's not even looking
He's
at
nuts.
Why would he even say that?
He's not even looking at the base.
Not even looking at the play.
He stepped right on top of first base. I'm not sure what C.B. Buckner's looking at.
You can see in the video the home plate umpire who's calling for the replay. Behind him, they have the picture of the guy touching the base. Like, it was not even close. He clearly touched the base. C.B. Buckner was not even looking at the base and calls him out for failure to touch the base.
Kevin Cash is laughing. Look at Murph. Those two guys.
The two head
laughing.
Coaches. Can't believe
wait
it.
To see that text
they know it's wrong.
Those two guys.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, there's value to instant replay. You're going to find out who are the terrible umpires. I can tell you one. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Artemis 2 is currently underway. The spacecraft launched yesterday from the Kennedy Space Center. The first crewed mission since 1972, scheduled to last 10 days. That was really fun to watch yesterday. Employment in the private sector is growing. The payroll management company ADP says more than 60,000 jobs were added in March. And the Labor Department will be releasing its weekly report on unemployment filings later today. And we've got a new development on Ted Bundy, Andrew.
Oh, I
He's
saw this.
He's been linked
yeah.
to another murder. Bundy was executed in 1989 for the murder of a 12-year-old girl. He's believed to have killed dozens of women. But yesterday, Utah officials said they were now closing a decades-old case after finding definitive proof that he killed a 17-year-old girl there.
Yeah, nobody knows. I mean, he knew, you know, but nobody knows how many other ones. And I don't know if you're the family of somebody who you didn't know who killed your daughter and now you find out, or your sister, and now you find out all these years. Does that help to solve? I mean, especially if this is the case. It's the whole thing. It's genuinely a horrible story, obviously. All right, David, thank you so much for the update. Coming up next, a very interesting response in the Pensacola City Council to the Flock camera protest people. We'll get to that coming up next.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Gianna Gelosi. More than a month into Operation Epic Fury, and an update from the president in prime time.
Thanks to the progress we've made, I can say tonight that we are on track to complete all of America's military objectives shortly, very shortly.
No mention of a ceasefire, despite a previous Truth Social post saying Iran had asked for one, and he said the Strait of Hormuz isn't America's problem.
The United States imports almost no oil through the Hormuz Strait. And won't be taking any in the future. We don't need it.
Today, European leaders are discussing ways to reopen and keep open the strait down at the Kennedy Space Center.
3, 2, 1, booster ignition and lift off.
NASA launching 4 astronauts in the Artemis 2 for the first lunar flyby in more than half a century. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31. News Radio 92.3, 66 degrees, cloudy skies. We'll get our forecast. That's up in just a few minutes. The Republican Party of Florida is all in on the idea of Chief Financial Officer Blaise Ingolia getting a full term.
Governor DeSantis appointed Ingolia to the position last July after former CFO Jimmy Patronis left to run for Congress. Since taking office, Ingolia has visited more than a dozen municipalities to call out what he describes as overspending and overtaxing, claiming his office has ID'd about $2 billion in overspending. He also oversaw a record $88 million in unclaimed property returned to Floridians in February. I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Austin. Well, Florida Highway Patrol says they're stepping up enforcement in construction zones across the area following 2 incidents this week, one of which put a road worker in critical condition after being hit on Beulah Road Wednesday. Troopers say speeders are the big problem, with drivers going too fast once traffic clears in construction areas. Speeding fines are double in construction zones. The reduced limits do apply whether workers are present at the site or not. FDOT says construction zones are designed to be as safe as possible, but that does require drivers to pay attention to those reduced speed limits and signage. Officials say 13 or more traffic stops per shift are being made by troopers across the area. A young mother and a business owner have been indicted in the 2023 death of a 10-month-old girl in Foley. A Baldwin County grand jury indicted 22-year-old Takora Brown and 30-year-old Larry Lawson on two counts each of felony aggravated child abuse. Investigators say the infant and her brother were living in a storage room of a retail store where Brown worked. Lawson was the owner. The baby died of a head injury in November 2023. Her brother was found with severe burns and also with evidence of a prior head injury. Both suspects were arrested this week and remain in custody. Escambia County Commissioner Ashley Hoffberger and Escambia County Public Safety are hosting a free hands-only CPR class. That's going to be Wednesday, April 15th at 6 p.m. at the Tryon Library on Langley Avenue. The class will cover hands-only CPR techniques and stroke recognition. No prior medical training is required to take that class. Space is limited. Registration in advance is required. The last class drew more than 60 attendees. The American Heart Association says CPR can double or triple a cardiac arrest victim's chance of survival when it is performed immediately. Well, hurricane season runs starting in June through November 30th. News Radio's Chris Bryan with this report. He says climatic changes could potentially spell some relief for Florida residents this year.
59 days and counting until the 2026 hurricane season. And now NOAA forecasters say a super El Nino could potentially develop. A normal El Nino cycle has about a 62% chance of developing. Now the super El Nino only has a 15% chance of development. For Floridians under El Nino, residents can expect fewer storms. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. 6:35 at News Radio, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with PJ.
Traffic is brought to you by ECUA. ECUA making service easier with the new My ECUA mobile app available to download now. Pay your bill, report service issues, alerts, and recycling tips. I-10 and 110 are both looking good at this hour. Not showing any slowdowns in Pine Forest or Carr City. The front gate of NAS Pensacola is backed up to about Gulf Beach Highway. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. 66 degrees right now in Pensacola, 69 in Gulf Breeze, and 61 in Milton. Our next news at 7, we've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Oil prices have surged more than 8% after President Trump's speech stokes war escalation fears in Iran. West Texas Intermediate currently costs roughly $108 per barrel, Brent currently at $109. Treasury yields rose this morning as President Trump's address indicated that the Iran war would continue for several weeks longer. The yield on the 10-year Treasury rose more than 5 basis points at 4.372%. The 2-year yield was up more than 4 basis points at 3.849%. Chinese electric vehicle startup Leap Motor posted its fourth straight quarter of deliveries exceeding 100,000 units. This news comes as BYD's deliveries fell by 30% this quarter. Like BYD, Leap Motor manufactures many of its key components in-house. Futures are severely lower as traders monitor the Iran war. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 224, the NASDAQ up 250, the S&P 500 up 46. That's Your Money Now.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter.
Hi, I'm Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, inviting you to Cops, Cars, and Crawfish. It'll be April the 11th at Five Flags Speedway. This event will have a car show beginning at 7:30 until 9:30. At 10 o'clock, the gates will open. At 11 o'clock, we'll serve crawfish plates from Cubs Crawfish. We'll have hamburgers and hot dog plates. We'll have balloon animals, games, face painting, and more for the kids. All proceeds for this event will benefit the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation and their mission to support the heroes of the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Cops, Cars, and Crawfish, April the 11th.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in tomorrow at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
You know what keeps most people up at night?
It's not politics.
It's money. Dave Ramsey helps you take control of it, one decision at a time. Real callers, real situations, and straight talk about getting out of debt, building wealth, and finally telling your money where to go.
Where to go.
Instead of wondering where it went.
Where it went.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Good evening, City Council. I'm here today to ask that y'all terminate the contract with Flock. This is a system that is not secure that anyone can hack. This system captures every plate it sees and retains them all for 30 days. Every car, every driver, whether connected to a crime or not. That is not targeted law enforcement. That is blanket surveillance with selective searching.
All right, this is Sam Epstein speaking at the Pensacola City Council meeting on Thursday. Again, the red shirt people, the people for the Party for Socialism and Liberation show up. And I say that even though I'm critical of them holding those views, I appreciate that they're honest about it and that they wear the shirts and that they're not ashamed of admitting who they really are, which is, you know, it's kind of an interesting place we're at in American politics right now. But they show up repeatedly for, gosh, as months, I guess. It has been several months, showing up protesting against the Flock cameras and repeatedly saying this abuse, this violation, this, you know, interfering in people's privacy, the people are on our side, and on and on. Okay. Talking about that. They want the city what they really want is the city to get rid of the Flock cameras, the license plate reader cameras. What they at the very least want is a review of how we got here and, you know, some public discussion among the city council members, which even some of the city council has said, I think we ought to have more discussion about this because the decision was not really made with us involved in it. So John Wade, and this, I thought this was really interesting. John Wade is just a citizen. I don't know who he is, but he got up and spoke, and this was the first time that I had really heard somebody stand up and, I don't know, offer a different view. He's not defending the Flock cameras either, okay? But he's definitely an anti-socialist. And get into it a little bit with these folks, not about the cameras, but about the fact that their own views should lead them to love the cameras, not to hate them.
First, I want to thank the speakers of the Pensacola Party for Socialism and Liberation for their valiant effort in fighting the privacy rights, fighting against the Flock cameras. The infrastructure is expanding right in front of us. I found 8 more cameras that weren't on the original map. Strangely enough, this just might be their woke moment to conservative principles. Their activism may awaken them to the true reason that the founding fathers added the Fourth Amendment into the Constitution.
In other words, it's a picket moment, right? Either come to the side of privacy, which the sort of libertarian view, or maybe you say the traditional constitutional view, and in that abandon your commitment to socialism and liberation and communism, whichever flavor of it you prefer, or stick with the red shirts, but give up this silly protesting against violations of privacy because your own views historically are kind of against that and strongly against that.
I'm sure most of them would recognize Karl Marx as their founder for socialism. But I doubt any of them have ever read Karl Marx's anti-Semitic 1844 essay called On the Jewish Question, where he demonized personal privacy as a social construct of the bourgeoisie intended for protecting private property. In other words, Marx would have actually been in support of the flock cameras as a necessary enforcement tool of the collective equity that would identify citizens that had too much stuff that had to be redistributed. In fact, all the socialist communist heroes that protested against personal privacy rights.
Now, the essay aside, because I think there's a lot more to that essay than comes out in that particular summary, but that's not really the point, okay? And, yeah, I mean, the anti-Semitism historically in Germany under Marx or whomever is a longstanding issue. But the real question is the relationship between socialists or communists and private property and privacy. And about that, John is completely correct. The whole idea of privacy is that you don't get to know how much I have or what I believe or a whole range of other or my emotions, my associations, you know, my religion. These are all things that are protected. You protect them best from interference by the state by protecting them from the state, even knowing what they are. You know, the best way to keep the state from interfering in your private life is to keep it completely out of it, right? Even from the awareness of it. So if you have surveillance able to tell what people own and what they, who they hang out with and where they go, that's a precursor, at least, to the idea of restricting their privacy actively. And surely under a socialist system to actively interfering with their right to own property. Okay, so he's, you know, he starts off praising them, but then he's kind of explaining that, but you know, guys, if you really want to be a red shirt person, you're on the wrong side of this whole privacy issue. It's your folks that have historically believed in violating personal privacy, in the surveillance state, in getting in people's business because that's the best way to coerce them and control them and make sure they don't violate the dictates of the state system.
Che Guevara's ideology of the collective state control demanded the suspension of individual privacy rights since the public needed to be surveilled to identify dissenters needing imprisonment.
Yeah. How better to control people than to eliminate their expectation that they can do things privately? Because it's when you do things privately, you do bad things, is kind of what the statists believe.
Fidel Castro's government employed a widespread surveillance throughout Cuba and systematically restricted personal privacy rights. Both these heroes of socialism all loved AI flock camera systems that would identify who refused to comply to state control over all their economic and social life. Now, don't get me started about communist China.
Yeah, I mean, big interventionist statist systems, think Russia, think Germany, you know, back in the day, think China today, think Cuba. They love people who turn in their neighbors and report on their neighbors and surveil other people and follow everything, because the whole idea of people doing things on their own and being left to their own individual devices is anathema to them. Whereas here in, you know, Western democracy, certainly in America, we celebrate that. We think that's fantastic. Leave people alone. Let them do their thing. That's the idea. It's part of the reason why I think the whole cancellation movement is so horribly misguided, because it's an effort to coerce people in what they say and believe and do when you should be kind of ignoring all of that stuff. I mean, you know, let them do what their thing is. But we'll come back to this in a second, because it's gonna get particularly interesting, I think, in a moment. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Traffic is brought to you by Positive Coaching Alliance. Questions about youth or high school sports? Positive Coaching Alliance can help. PCA, a national nonprofit, develops better athletes and better people through sports. Info at positivecoach.org. Taking a look at the big board, I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth. If you're on US 98 east and westbound through Navarre and Gulf Breeze, that's flowing smooth as well. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Quick note here, Navy Days, the Pensacola Navy Days Gala at the museum is happening Friday, May 8th. I will be there. It's a great event every year. And you should, you know, try to find out more information. Get tickets available at PensacolaNavyDays.org. Cherico is going to be the speaker, the former head of NETSI, and now he's a 3-star chief of naval. Oh, I forget what his current title is. Personnel, I think, is what it is. Somebody's going to text me and remind me. Anyway, also, you have Bands on the Beach. Bands on the Beach is going to be coming up pretty soon. April 7th, the Calverts are going to kick it off, so that's always a good time. PJ, you're Cat Country, Bands on the Beach. It's an amazing.
It is a
great
show.
Amazing institution. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's a fabulous time if you've never been out to there at the Gulfside Pavilion next to the beach ball on Tuesday nights. All right, back to the comments about the flock cameras and socialists and communists. John Wade is very politely, I think, encouraging the red shirt socialists that keep showing up at these meetings that their opposition to the flock cameras is misplaced if they're going to maintain their adherence to, you know, socialism and communism, because their people historically have hated privacy and private property and individuals doing their own thing. They love surveillance, whether it's Castro or China or Russia, you know, any of these big state systems love it. And so he's kind of explaining this to them and sort of saying it's kind of too bad that they never got a good education on what their own leaders believe, because
Pensacola's socialist revolutionaries were never provided the historical education on how every communist society began under the banner of democratic socialism. It's comically ironic that they hate a flock system that all the heroes would have immediately implemented had they had the technology. And yet they find themselves agreeing with a whole bunch of old conservative slave owners who had the foresight to ingrain that right to privacy in our founding document.
Absolutely. Very much. And even though the word privacy particularly does not occur in the Constitution, the idea of privacy saturates the Constitution. That's why the Supreme Court came up with this concept of the privacy penumbra within which all of these other rights fit. I think they misapplied that when they started talking about things like contraception and abortion. But that's at least the theory of it, even though the word is not there. Okay, last comment from him.
So why do citizens of polar opposite political beliefs agree on the concept of privacy rights? Well, simply put, we understand the invasion of privacy is a means to an end, that end being enslavement. Conservatives know that the mere existence of a mass data collection system will eventually be used to suppress individual freedoms outlined in the Bill of Rights. The socialists see this as a way of preventing the revolution that will destroy the Bill of Rights in the name of collectivism. They fail to understand what happens after their revolution succeeds.
So he's trying to teach them what their own views should lead them to conclude. And I've always thought it's an odd fit for the socialists to be protesting the flock cameras, since the right to surveil by the state has been historically one of the most common elements of socialist states or communist states. And, you know, people who believe in totalistic systems like they do. And he's right. It always starts off with good talk, and it always ends up in, well, if they really get their way, millions and millions of people being killed. Okay, so he gives this really good, lengthy-ish, I mean, they only have 3 minutes, exposition of why, if you are a real socialist, you shouldn't be against the flock cameras. You should be celebrating them, because it's going to facilitate the very thing you want, you know, the revolution, and then you can control people, and why people who are more libertarian-oriented or traditional, you know, constitutionalists should be horrified by them and, you know, not be in favor of them, because the more surveillance there is, the less freedom there is. The very next speaker. Remember yesterday in the April Fool's thing that I wrote about the Toll Plaza at Palafox and Garden, Palafox and Maine? One of my favorite parts of that joke was that the members in city council, the attendees, the public at city council, were persuaded by the rational arguments. And instead of getting angrier and more defiant, they were like, oh, that makes sense. Which I had somebody text me, that's when I knew it was fake, because that would never happen. Okay, so PJ, you get to play prognosticator here for a second. There's another one of the red shirt people is going to get up here and talk in just a second. Do you think that person is A, going to thank John Wade for clarifying his own views and pointing him in the right direction and explaining to him that he's invested all this time in protesting the flock cameras all this time in contrast to his basic core beliefs and change his view? Or is he going to pretend like none of this happened and just keep saying what he was going to say?
Option B.
Good afternoon, Council. My name is Girasol Alfonso. So, we're here today, again, just demanding that this council terminate this contract with Flock, this AI-powered surveillance system.
Yeah, I mean, it's always fascinating to me that people who want to be heard refuse to listen. I mean, think about it. They want the city council to pay attention to them. They want the city council to be persuaded. In order for that to happen, the city council has to take them seriously. And that's the reason we have civil discourse. That's the reason we have a First Amendment, is to protect the ability to engage with other people who disagree, to persuade them or be persuaded by them. You have to have both. If you're not willing to be persuaded, then it's immoral for you to engage in persuasion. The whole idea is we go into this game called discussion, And we're willing to change. We're willing to come out of it with a different viewpoint. Otherwise, we're lying to the other participants and pretending that we're somehow seriously engaged in reasoning. And what we're really engaged in is just saying what we happen to believe, and we don't care what anybody else believes. The purpose is to allow us to learn from others. So again, you know, if you want other people to listen to you, you have to be willing to listen, right? Okay, if you want to persuade, you have to be willing to be persuaded. Well, these people have shown that they're completely unwilling to even take consideration for the things that have been said, unless they come back to the next city council meeting and apologize, which I don't have high hopes for, but you never know. People can surprise you. It's just, it's amazing to me that they would so adamantly want to be heard and so adamantly not want to hear what somebody else. Maybe they're just in surprise, like, wait, he just totally took us down. Maybe they didn't know what was happening. I don't know. It's always possible. On that note, this is just an observation. Remember the other day, the Supreme Court handed down a decision where they didn't strike down the Colorado ban on what they are calling conversion therapy through talk. You know, somebody comes to you, an adult comes to you, and they feel gay attraction, but they don't want to. They feel gender dysphoria, but they don't want to. And the counselor kind of helps talk them through what they already want to accomplish, which is to feel straight attraction or to feel at home in their body. And Colorado had banned that, and the Supreme Court said you can't. That's viewpoint suppression. That's a First Amendment violation. At the very least, what you need to do is apply strict scrutiny to this, not rational basis review. Okay, that's a short history of the case. 8-1 decision, Ketanji Brown Jackson, the only negative. Immediately afterwards, all of the usual suspects, including the lawyers who lost, were out, like, you know, complaining about how this decision is horrible and all the gay activists. This is a terrible decision. All the trans activists. This is a terrible decision. The Supreme Court is ruining all of our lives. 8-1. I would love it if just one time, somebody went to the Supreme Court and, pardon me, but got their ass handed to them. 8-1. Would come back and say, yeah, we wrong. Just one time. Because what you're doing when you keep up with your point of view afterwards is you're undermining the validity and the legitimacy and the authority of the Supreme Court. Look, if it's a split decision and it's 5-4, okay. But when it's unanimous and most of the Supreme Court decisions are unanimous, or when it's 8-1, wouldn't it be refreshing if some activist came out and said, well, I still believe in what we're trying to accomplish, but I recognize I was wrong about this. The Supreme Court got it right. No, you never, but again, that's arrogance is part of the system that we live in. But also, you should listen and pay attention and be willing to be wrong about things, especially when you get told you're wrong on an 8-1 decision where several of the liberals even voted against the thing that you're supporting. 8:55 on News Radio 92.3. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash with injuries, North Pace Boulevard at West Fairfield Drive. They're saying there's a roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Spring cleaning is upon us, but there's one meaningful box that you don't throw away when cleaning out your closet. It's the box filled with your family's important videotapes, film reels, and photos. Hi, I'm Adam Baselager.
And I'm Nick Mako. We started Legacy Box over a decade ago to help families organize and update their analog media to digital.
Legacy Box is simple and easy. It works and is safe. Over a million families have trusted Legacy Box.
And Legacy Box has been featured in Good Housekeeping, The Today Show, and Rachel Ray.
Legacy Box is like magic, converting your shoebox of memories to the cloud or thumb drive, ready to watch and share.
Declutter your closet by digitizing your media. Become more organized and accomplished, knowing your family's recorded past is safe forever. Take advantage of our spring cleaning sale going on now. It's the easiest task to check off your to-do list.
For a limited time, you can get started for just $9 a tape. Visit legacybox.com/keepsake to get our $9 sale. That's legacybox.com/keepsake to get our $9 offer. Legacybox.com/keepsake.
Hurricane season begins June 1st, but preparation starts now. Florida's severe weather season is underway, and the same steps that help you prepare for hurricanes, making a plan, gathering supplies, and staying informed, also help protect you during severe weather today.
For simple step-by-step guidance, visit floridamakeaplan.com. One plan can help you prepare for many storms. Brought to you by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the University of Florida, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details. News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Who are you? Who's he?
I'm the player to be named later.
Good morning, 659 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News in the newsroom. David Wayne is standing by with some headlines for us. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. And I do have headlines for you. Right now, President Trump says the U.S. will not allow Iran to get a nuclear weapon. He gave that primetime address last night, and he claimed if the 2015 agreement between Iran and seven world powers to limit Iran's nuclear program had remained in place, he said the country would have already obtained a nuclear weapon.
Yeah, it was an interesting address. Definitely some unusual comments. I mean, not unusual, but I mean about the Strait of Hormuz and Europe. To the people in Iran, the leadership in Iran, wanting them to make a deal, or else, you know, we can still strike the oil fields, we can still strike the energy infrastructure and other things. When we come back, Artemis mission and some April Fool's recap.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze.